Ravens do it. They get the job done against the Cincinnati Bengals. I told you. People call it an upset, but if you paid attention to the podcast, you're not surprised. The Ravens get it done 27-24 over those Cincinnati Bengals. Listen, the wild card game, sour taste in the mouth of Ravens fans. Even so, being without Lamar Jackson, played, and he played extremely, extremely well. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. We're going to talk all about that Cincinnati Bengals game, that Week 2 victory that catapults the Ravens to an undefeated streak alongside the Miami Dolphins, the only two teams in the AFC currently without a loss. We'll also talk about the upcoming matchup against those Indianapolis Colts. Those Ravens fans from the 1960s and 70s will remember those Colts very well, and hopefully the Ravens can pick up the win. But first, Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2. They lose against those Baltimore Ravens in Cincinnati. Now, like I mentioned earlier, if you paid attention to the podcast last week, I told you guys that 24-3 loss to the Cleveland Browns left a sour taste in my mouth. I didn't know if it was something with Joe Burrow. I don't know if it was something with the offensive coordinator, the defense, if it was just, I don't know. But it felt fishy, smelled fishy. So I fully expected the Ravens to come out on top. And a lot of things that I saw in the Week 1 matchup for the Ravens, that when they went up against those Houston Texans, really gave me a glimmer of hope. It shed light on what I expected from Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator. But let's talk about it. The Ravens came in with a game plan, and they executed it flawlessly. Now, the Ravens were definitely going to try and do what they did in Week 1, and that's isolate Zay Flowers and get him going. The Bengals saw that coming. I see a lot of defensive coverages going against his side, but there's one thing that the Bengals didn't account for, at least they couldn't account for, and that was the addition of Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews played a pivotal role in that game, lots of huge catches, especially that touchdown grab in the game that really, in my opinion, almost sealed the deal. But the story in a national perspective is going to go to Joe Burrow and how he performed for the second straight week. Didn't quite seem himself for the second straight week, second straight season, the Bengals start 0-2. And everybody's going to be pointing to that calf injury. And there might be some truance to that. There might be some validity in the sense that Joe Burrow's injury may be holding him back. And Zach Taylor, after the game, spoke about how Joe Burrow may not even play next week, which would further the cause for the Ravens if their hope is to win the division and win it early. But the Ravens did a great job against Joe Burrow. Harbaugh talked about it a little bit after the game. If you paid attention to the way he spoke, he talked about how the corners of the Ravens really protected against the fade. If you pay attention to those Bengals games, the fade route gets them, especially in the red zone. That huge play on the corner of the end zone where I believe it was Jamar Chase had a chance to grab that touchdown. Could have been T. Higgins, but I believe it was Jamar Chase. Snatched it away from him in the end zone and really helped the defense along when it looked like the Bengals may have been possibly trying to make a comeback. But lots of heroes in this game. The secondary, I've talked about it since the preseason, very concerning, the depth because of Marlon Humphrey's absence. And then Marcus Williams with that torn pec injury, definitely a cause of concern. Many thought that the Bengals would be able to take advantage, but people stepped up. Geno Stone, a guy who I believed had the play of the game in the red zone. Joe Burrow looked like he was going to attack and possibly take the lead. Geno Stone turns it the other way and could have returned it for a touchdown. But, you know, Stone would tell you that there was a chance that probably wasn't going to happen because of the way the blocking was set up and how the Bengals defenders were coming in to kind of close in. But I think he could have picked him in for six, but we'll leave it at that. He got the interception, stalled the drive, really took points away from the board. And that was pretty much all that the Ravens needed, especially on offense, for Lamar Jackson to go ahead and punch it in the end zone for those two touchdowns. Really, really, really liked what I saw. Lamar Jackson. I mean, people are talking 2019 MVP levels. Now, you know, this is always happening every year with Lamar Jackson. We'll have those two or three good games in the beginning of the season where everyone's talking about, oh yeah, this is the season. This is the time where he's going to duplicate his performance in 2019. I say pump the brakes on that a little bit. And I say that because really 2019 was an aberration. It was just such an anomaly. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that really the National Football League hadn't seen this style of offense ever under Greg Roman back in 2019. So defenses were adjusting on the fly. The divisional opponents, the Bengals, the Browns, the Steelers, they didn't really have the personnel on defense to combat the speed in which Lamar Jackson had, especially on the outside. So 2019, I think, was a little bit of a – don't hold too much credence in that. Now, Lamar Jackson had a lot to do with it, but I think credit has to go to Greg Roman with what he brought into the National Football League, how he was able to use his talents to possibly go ahead and make that happen for that magical season. Fast forward to 2023, excuse me, fast forward to 2023, we're talking about possibly a new type of offense, a new type of magic. Lamar Jackson is seeing the field, the ways in which the coaches admit that they haven't seen from him throughout his tenure in the National Football League. And that has a lot to do with Todd Monken. As I spoke about ad nauseum this past preseason, Todd Monken's going to bring that offense that really worked for Lamar Jackson in Louisville, something that Deshaun Watson used a lot of in his time in Houston, spread the field, spread offense, get those wide receivers, get that talent on the outside, use your running backs, bubble screens with Zay Flowers, having Mark Andrews go up in the middle of the field and really cause problems in the scene. Give Lamar Jackson a chance to really survey the field. Don't bunch the offense between the numbers. Spread the offense out. Give Lamar Jackson room to run if he has to, but also to survey the defense, decipher what the defense coordinator is trying to do, and attack. And you saw that in full display in week two. Now, there were some miscues. I got a lot of texts from a lot of guys who are Lamar Jackson haters talking about how he missed this throw and missed that throw. I've never seen a quarterback in the National Football League more under the microscope than Lamar Jackson. He only missed 9 throws in week two. He made a lot of great, great decisions with the football. Not only great decisions, but great throws. That deep pass to Zay Flowers, I haven't seen anyone make that throw in the National Football League as of yet, and that includes Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this guy was on the money in week two, and we're just getting started. The more the offense gets comfortable, the more the offense gets in tune with what they're trying to do as far as personnel is concerned, you're going to start to see this offense explode in ways in which we haven't seen before on this NFL franchise. So big kudos to the Ravens, big kudos to Lamar Jackson, and big kudos to the franchise as a whole to getting that monkey off their back, which is beating the Cincinnati Bengals in week two. Now, if you paid attention, well, I guess not even to the podcast, but just nationally, you know, Lamar Jackson has the Bengals number. Lamar Jackson 7-1 all time against the Cincinnati Bengals. Lamar Jackson, I believe he's missed 4 of the last 5 meetings against the Bengals. So there were a lot of Bengals fans surprised by this outcome. A lot of national media, a lot of pundits who predicted that the Bengals would win, but didn't pay attention to the fact that most of those losses came without Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's only lost 1 game against the Bengals in which he was on the center as a starter. And this marks the 7th win in that total. Now, hopefully the Ravens stay healthy, because if they do, this division is looking like it could be under wraps. I mean, if you saw the Cleveland Browns-Pittsburgh Steelers game this past Monday night, you saw the Steelers don't look that great with Kenny Pickett. They don't look that great. Now, they were my pick to possibly be the second-best team in the division, but so far with the quarterback play, it's hard to say. Don't count them out. That defense is still very, very, very good. And the Cleveland Browns, on the other hand, they just lost Nick Chubb to that gruesome injury on Monday Night Football. A lot of the offense is predicated on moving the ball through him. So that's a huge loss, and the Browns will have to adjust. They're another team that's going to be reeling. Now, I know this is the Raven Sock podcast, but we have to mention that paying that quarterback $230 million and putting him in a system that isn't equivalent to what he had in Houston is crazy. I know that Nick Chubb is a great, great player. I mean, maybe the best running back in the league, but you have to spread the offense out with quarterbacks like that. I mean, just follow what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson if you're a Browns team, and you should be okay. But right now, that system doesn't seem like it's working well for him. He looks lost. He doesn't look like he's really enjoying himself. It's like you're handcuffing a Ferrari. You're not really taking advantage of what Deshaun Watson can do. And you know, you take away what he's done off the field, maybe you have something going, but they're stuck with him for at least another 4 or 5 years. That's what happens when you pay a quarterback fully guaranteed money. And, of course, those Cincinnati Bengals we talked about earlier, hey, they're 0-2 right now. They're reeling. They got division games coming up. They could easily be 0-3. And looking on the outside of that division as the Ravens continue to catapult up. They go up against the Colts next, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, about what they need to do to make sure that they go 3-0 at the start of the season. Before we go on to what we talk about with the Indianapolis Colts, let's not forget to mention that there were some injuries, some big-time injuries to the Ravens that we need to speak about. For one, Odell Beckham Jr., the Ravens signed him to a huge contract, $15 million. We had a couple of guys come on the show a little bit earlier and talked about how his contract could impact the cap for the Baltimore Ravens moving forward. And to have him be injured at this point in the season is a little disconcerting. But Coach John Harbaugh said that it doesn't appear to be too serious. It's an ankle injury that he will be dealing with probably for the rest of the season, but he'll manage okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the field against the Indianapolis Colts in week three. Ardarius Washington, a cornerback who played fairly well. I mean, he did look a little small out there. He's one of the smaller corners that the Ravens have, and the Ravens are going to go up against some very tall receivers that the Cincinnati Bengals have with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd. But he's dealing with a chest injury. He went on IR today, so unless Marlon Humphrey comes back, that's another secondary piece that is going to be lacking for the Ravens moving forward. Now, we'll get into it a little bit later, but the Indianapolis Colts don't really have the receiving core to be very concerned with, but losing guys at the secondary in any capacity is going to be a huge loss for the team. So hopefully the Ravens are able to bring in some guys and bounce back from that injury. But when we get back, we'll talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about what the Ravens have to do to get that 3-0 victory. And we'll get my predictions on whether or not the Ravens get the job done and keep that pace in first place in the AFC North. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast, and I have with us Matt Jurgensen, who's the writer for Baltimore Sports and Life. He's also doing a podcast with Brent Harris called The Baltimore Blitz. Welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, glad to be back. And again, a good Ravens win this past Sunday, 2-0, head of the division. Everything feels good on a week after a win.
Yeah, yeah. The crowd is buzzing. They're feeling the effect. The Baltimore Orioles are clinched the playoff spot, and they're looking to clinch that AL East title, so it's all good in Baltimore right now.
It was a tremendous day in Baltimore sports on Sunday, you know, with them beating Cincinnati, a team they played, you know, for the third time in four games, which is kind of crazy to begin with, and having them make a comeback, you know, to win the Orioles, you know, to clinch so many years of being wandering in the desert, so to speak, where they just weren't even close to getting into playoffs, and they are back, and it's exciting to say the least to see where that team will head.
Yeah, I have high hopes. I'm thinking they win the World Series, but this is an Orioles podcast, so I'm not going to make that a lock. But, man, I'm feeling really good about those Orioles. I'm feeling really good about the Ravens, too. And you mentioned that the Ravens did beat the Bengals a big-time win, 27-24, and they really controlled the game the entire day. They tried to make a comeback, the Bengals did, but I feel like the Ravens really controlled it. There was never really a moment. Except for here we go again. The Bengals are going to try and come back. But I felt like they did a really good job controlling the game throughout.
The game definitely felt, the score was 27-24, but it didn't feel that close. I mean, I agree. Much of the game, particularly in the second half, the Ravens felt like they had things in hand. And, you know, it really got surprising, the special teams touchdown with Cincinnati, was a flag that kind of got picked up.
For no reason.
I thought there was a block in the back there. But at any rate, I mean, that kind of kept things close. But, the Ravens did a fantastic job, great game plan. You can see where this offense is different in a lot of ways. Lamar Jackson had a fantastic game throwing the football. They had him get the ball out quick. 237, two touchdowns, ran for, I think, 50-some yards. Yep. I mean, so right around where he should probably be. Offensive line was phenomenal. And it really pays when you have some guys that can catch the football besides Mark Andrews. Again, he got to regain and rejoin his teammates. But it feels like, again, like Lamar Jackson says, the sky's the limit for this team.
Yeah, and I've been preaching to the choir for the last 6 years. Get this guy some talent. Now he doesn't even know how to deal with it. He has so many options. Rashad Bateman, I think he's going to be able to, once he gets his foot setting and the Ravens really get what this offense is trying to do, he'll be an impact. Odell Beckham Jr., a guy who did get injured, is also, I believe, in the news or should be in the news fairly soon. I have reason to believe that he's in a romantic relationship with Kim Kardashian. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, this is what happens when you sign a player of his status and his star power. And I actually wrote something a couple of weeks ago at Baltimore Sports and Life. I know a lot of people thought, oh, you know, OBJ, he's getting a year for $15 million. I mean, is he really the same player? Is he worth it? And I kind of turned around and said, look, he's worth it in that the buzz he's created. You saw him at camp. He's a star. And that's what stars do. Stars date other stars, right? So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Look at Travis Kelce and look at Taylor Swift. So the Baltimore's not any different. Let's look ahead. You know, the Ravens are 2-0. They have another test against the Indianapolis Colts. It feels different. It feels like people expect the Ravens to come out on top. Anthony Richardson suffered a concussion in week 2. His status is in doubt, but my sources are telling me that there's a really good chance he doesn't even play this week. So that means that they have Gardner Minshew to worry about. How is your thought process going into this game? Is your expectations a little higher than it was this week? I would assume so, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, I know a lot of people like to maybe undersell Minshew a little bit, but he's a different kind of quarterback. Anthony Richardson, you know, young, athletic, had ran for 2 touchdowns against Houston last week. So he poses a different kind of threat. So they're definitely different kinds of quarterbacks. Ravens defense, again, I'm very confident in Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Where he just seems to have Joe Burrow's number. You know, he's been able to scheme for him properly. It seems like, you know, since early last season when they had some growing pains, really the second half of the season, he's got the sauce figured out in terms of what the defense wants to do, taking advantage of who they have. And they've been able to navigate injuries. I mean, I just saw again recently, I believe, Ardarius Washington put on the IR, I think for the short term. But he's been the starting nickel. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like we Marlon Humphrey still hasn't stepped on the field yet. And, you know, you had other injuries already, and they just keep humming. I mean, Geno Stone with a tremendous game last week.
Yeah.
So going into this game, coming back home, it doesn't matter to me right now who the Colts put under center. I'm expecting the Ravens to win. No doubt.
I agree with you there. I think the Ravens have a very good chance of winning. The Colts defense now is a subject matter that I want to get into because their pass defense isn't the greatest, but their run defense, especially through the first 2 weeks, have been stellar. The Ravens have won these last 2 games, especially in week 1 with the run game. Even though they don't have J.K. Dobbins, they do have Justice Hill. They do have Gus Edwards, who I remember you mentioning during the game last week that you wanted to get more involved, and I believe they did, and he really helped steal that win for them. Do you think the Ravens' game plan would be to pass it? The Ravens have some chances to really move Zay Flowers and Justice Hill to the outside, and really the Colts don't have an answer for that. But as far as running it up the gut, something that they did in week 1 and week 2, do you think the Ravens deviate from that because of the Colts' defense?
I mean, this is the advantage of having a balanced offense. I think you'd like overall for them to be run pass, you know, 50-50 if you can. But some games call for heavier pass. Some games call for a heavier run plan. So you look at this game and you see what they have available. They certainly could come out and throw it a little bit early and, you know, it's always that idea, going to take what the defense gives you. And if they're going to be a little more stout in the run game and force you to throw it, I'm not really all that worried about the Ravens being able to throw it when you've got guys still like, you know, a guy like Nelson Agholor, who shows you again the depth of the receiver core. Five catches last week, a touchdown, and a pretty nice touchdown dance, by the way.
Big time.
And again, Mark Andrews is back. So, I mean, you know, you forget about Likely and some other guys. So they, like you mentioned, a lot of weapons, a lot of ways to try to beat you. And that's, you know, when you keep defenses guessing, that's, again, it's just a recipe for success. So, I mean, if they end up going a little more pass heavy, I think that's fine. Maybe go run, go with the pass to set up the run. Mm-hmm. And I really like them using that hammer of Gus Edwards, just runs hard. Trying to maybe seal out the win for the home fans, hopefully in the second half. So, yeah, you could definitely see him throw the ball more, without a doubt.
Yeah, and Gus Edwards, as you mentioned, the big north-south runner. something that the Ravens are going to use to their advantage. Speaking of North-South runners, the Cleveland Browns lost Nick Chubb, unfortunately, to a gruesome leg injury on Monday Night Football. And that really put the division in turmoil. Now you have the Cleveland Browns, who are 1-1, tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 0-2, who just lost to the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. The division, early, I know 15 games left, but the Ravens have a chance to really catapult themselves at the top of the division and stay there if they get the job done this week.
You know, it's funny. I think I was looking somewhere on the X and saw ESPN. I think their probability stats came out. They have the Ravens listed, I think, at 75% right now of winning the AFC North, which I don't know exactly where they're getting those numbers from. There's a lot of games left. But maybe it does speak to, like you said, like it's hard not to think from what you've seen, at least in the short term, that the Ravens should or could, as long as they stay away from major injuries, specifically to Lamar Jackson, that they should be able to win this division. Certainly the Steelers don't scare me. That defense will keep them in games. I'm not sure if Kenny Pickett's the guy. Now, again, more's going to be put on Deshaun Watson with Nick Chubb being out. They're trying to figure if they're going to try to maybe look to re-sign Kareem Hunt or not. I saw that as well.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to think right now the Ravens are not the favorite to take this division. And, again, long way to go, a lot of football to be played, but there's no reason to think why they are not now the team to beat in this division.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting moving forward with this team because the first and – many people predicted to be the most, I would say, strenuous task in the division as far as opponents go. Beating the Cincinnati Bengals, that's a huge task, and many believe they were to be the favorites to win the division. So beating them on the road is a huge deal. You have the Browns and Steelers, like I mentioned earlier, who are teetering. So, yeah, the Ravens really have a great chance. And the Chiefs, we talked about, I bet they wish they had the Ravens' weapons. Patrick Mahomes is struggling. I mean, I know he has Travis Kelce, but he's having difficulties reaching the end zone. The Miami Dolphins looked really good, but Tua's kind of, you know, wishy-washy. We don't know who we're going to get. So far, so good for them this season. So the Ravens have a chance not only to win the division, but make noise in the postseason if they get there. Now, before I let you go, I really do have to ask you. I need a score prediction for you. Who do you think? What do you think the final score is going to be in the game? And who do you think is a sneaky player to make an impact in week three for the Ravens?
Okay. I would say, again, the Ravens come back home. I think right now the line was 7.5, almost 8 points, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm liking the Ravens again to go. They're going to the 30. They're going to the next level here. Yeah. They've got 31-14 beating the Colts. And again, you know, I've got to mention it just because I know a lot of people have long forgotten. You know, this used to be a big game because the Colts used to be here in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But it's been several decades. I think that kind of, for a lot of people, has just, you know, kind of melted into the background. And it's all Ravens as some of our older fans start moving on. But for me, again, it is always a thing with having the Colts come back and those colors coming back. I'm hoping for a Ravens beatdown. The player, again, I'm looking at specifically, you know, I would like to see, again, I think Zay Flowers is going to be featured heavily again in this game. His speed had a big catch last week. But like you said, I would like to see, you know, Rashad Bateman maybe start to get a couple catches and, you know, maybe even Devin Duvernay. I know some people, again, were kind of, you know, he's getting a couple $1 million and he's not really doing very much on this offense. But again, as we start naming all these players, where does he fit in the offense? I mean, exactly. He's almost the 5 or the 6 in terms of a wide receiver. I know with Beckham, you know, if he ends up on the shelf, maybe he slides in a bit. But you'd like to see him get involved as well. But I think the pass game, again, will probably be featured this weekend in Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Devin Duvernay, you know, he's doing what he can. I mean, those balls are being kicked into the end zone and don't take a chance if you don't have to. But, yeah, I think he might get involved. I think they tried to put him in there in the offense in week two, and I expect more of that in week three.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. Tell the folks at home where they can find your stuff.
Again, you can check me out on BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com. I usually try to write one or two articles a week. And, of course, you can check me out on the X at Twitter, at Matt Jergs. So always a pleasure talking to you. And ready for another Ravens win this week.
Yeah, I think we're going to get it. Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us. I'll see you next time for sure.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Thanks. That's Matt Jergensen. That's from Baltimore Sports and Life. He also does the Baltimore Blitz with the Brand Harris. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. When we get back, we'll talk about my predictions for the show, for the game against the Indianapolis Colts. And we'll wrap things up here on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was Matt Jergensen with Baltimore Sports and Life, also with the Baltimore Blitz with Brent Harris. Pleasure to have him on the show. The Indianapolis Colts, they are a team on the mend. Jonathan Taylor, a guy we didn't really mention because he's on the PUP list. He's dealing with an injury, quote unquote, but really he wants a contract. But he won't be playing this week. I think they'll be going with Zach Moss and Anthony Richardson, their quarterback, who played very well against the Texans before dealing with that concussion late in the game. So with him out, Gardner Minshew in. Minshew did great with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's what many fans will remember him for. But that's a backup quarterback coming in. So a lot of things working in the Ravens' favor. And that's a lot of goodness if you're a Ravens fan, if you're thinking that they're going to get the W in week three. So on to predictions. What do I think? Did the Ravens get the job done? Did the Ravens beat the Indianapolis Colts? Did they go undefeated, 3-0, keep pace with the Miami Dolphins? Get that AFC one seed. They haven't had the AFC one seed since the 2019 season when Lamar Jackson had the MVP season. Did it go back to that? Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind the Ravens are going to beat the Colts. There's just too much going against the Colts. One thing I do like about the Colts defense, even coming in prior to the injuries, was their run defense. And I talked to Matt Jergs about that, and he mentioned that, the Ravens have weapons. The great thing about having a balanced attack is that you can attack the defense many different ways. Gone are the days where the Ravens would have to run down your throat, and then if that doesn't work, then up you lose. Now you got weapons like Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham if he's healthy, not dealing with Kim Kardashian, little shot there. Mark Andrews, weapons galore. So there's plenty of opportunities. They could still run the ball very well if they do lots of sweeps with Zay Flowers, bubble screens, end-arounds, something that I think they've implemented in their offense very well. So they want to use the run game to really start the offense going. There are ways to do it without running through the teeth of the Colts defense, which is really a strength of theirs. So I expect the Ravens to get the job done. I expect the Ravens to win. Let's go 31-17. Let's give Minshew a couple of touchdown passes. Maybe Zach Moss runs in for one. But I fully expect the Ravens to win at home against that Indianapolis Colts team, the team that left in the middle of the night in the 80s. The Ravens never forget. The North remembers. So I fully expect the Ravens to get the job done, and the Ravens move on to 3-0 and head up against those Cleveland Browns in week four. That's going to do it for us here at Ravens Talk Podcast. I appreciate you guys joining us. Another week in the books. Ravens still haven't felt the taste of defeat since the preseason. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon, but if they do, we'll talk all about it here on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Thanks again for joining us. I'll see you guys next week against another divisional opponent after the Colts game, Ravens-Browns. See you later.